Thank you. We'll call this meeting of the Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:35 p.m. Thursday, March 3rd. Present, we have Vice Chair Schauer, Senator Keel, myself, Chair Myers. That gives us a quorum to conduct business. Staff in the committee today, per usual, we've got Nancy Hemingway from Senate Records. Always good to see you. We have Talia joining us as our moderator. She's a frequent flyer now. And Michaela Anderson is my committee aide. Quick reminder, as usual, please silence your cell phones. Today, we are going to be hearing SB 203, Purple Heart Trail. This is our first time hearing the bill. We'll be hearing the bill, taking public testimony. My intent is to move the bill from committee today. With that, I'd like to welcome Senator Josh Rivack and his staff to the table to present the bill and to respond to any initial questions from the committee.
Yes, thank you, Chair Meyer, members of the Transportation Committee. My name, for the record, Senator Rivack, District M. My staff, Emma Torkelson, is here to go over the details of the bill, but very quickly, I know that there's several folks very passionate about this bill to testify here, a few invited, and a few public testifiers. But just very quickly, what this bill does, it extends the Purple Heart Trail Highway designation from Fairbanks down to Homer, so it will run continuously from the border to Homer. It connects five Purple Heart cities: North Pole, Fairbanks, Wasilla, Soldotna, and Homer. The reason this is important: Alaska has a strong military tradition. We have an estimated 65,000 resident veterans, approximately 21,000 active duty military. As you all know, we have more veterans per capita than any other state in the nation. And this reflects our commitment to our veterans, not only that, but our dedication to the service and sacrifices of military members who have received the Purple Heart. The Purple Heart is the oldest military decoration given by General George Washington as the first United States military decoration. Signage drawing attention to the designation is placed at appropriate intervals along the highway to stimulate thought and discussion among adults and children alike about the history of our nation and those who have made significant sacrifices for it. And I think with that, I'll leave. I think we got a lot of testimony, and so I'm very excited to hear from these folks who are passionate about this issue. On the other end of the line, my staff, Emma Torkelson, can talk to you and walk you through the sectional analysis if you like. And then we have John Knott III, who is the commander of the Alaska Military Order of the Purple Heart. He's online to give some testimony, and then we can answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Rivack. Yeah, if we could just do a quick run through of the sectional.
Yeah. Emma Torkelson, staff to Senator Rivack. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be really brief with this. The Section 1 extends the Purple Heart Trail officially approximately 590 miles from Fairbanks to Homer. So completing that in statute, it will now say from the border to Homer, listing out each highway in between. Section 2 directs the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to erect appropriate Purple Heart signage along that way. The signage, we have listed locations that we want that to for sure be placed, but it does direct the department to erect it in any other place that they deem most appropriate. So we'll have at least signage at the Veterans Memorial in Byers Lake, Wasilla, Anchorage, Junction of Seward and Sterling Highways, Soldotna and Homer. But we already plan to have signage at more locations along that way. Section 3 directs the department to set up informational displays at several pullouts along the designation. We only require them to put up three more, but the plan currently is to do six along that 630 miles or so. Section 4 gives Department of Transportation and Public Facilities the ability to accept gifts, donations, and grants from a person or agency for the purpose of putting these up. Our fiscal note, as you can see, does provide state funding for this project, but if people do want to donate to the project, then they'll be able to accept those receipts and use that money, and any money not, any state money not used will lapse back into the general fund. Section 5 just gives them the flexibility to set these up as funds are available without having to wait for the funding for the entire project, the goal being to give them the DOT the flexibility to set these up with ongoing projects or as they need to and with the funds that they have. Our intent also is to allow, it's not named in the bill, but our intent and what we believe is already possible that DOT will work with DNR and any other department they need to get these set up and utilize the appropriate pullouts and other locations along the highway. And with that, that is the end of the sectional. We should hopefully John Knott's online now and can give his testimony. Thank you.
If you could make it quick, we've got a gentleman who's a little time limited on his invited testimony. All right, thank you. Next up, we've got Mr. John Knott. If you can hear us, sir, if you could state your name, affiliation, and location for the record, and then provide your testimony.
Yes, sir. My name is John Knott. I'm currently up here in Fort Wainwright, Alaska. I'm the Military Order of the Purple Heart State of Alaska Commander.
Thank you, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you all for putting in the work on this. We've been trying to push this for a couple of years, and I love seeing it go through here. And my short testimony is, as a recipient of the Purple Heart, I can't think of a more fitting tribute to honor and pay respect to never forget the bloodshed and the ultimate sacrifices that have been made for our nation's freedom. This is and will be forever an emotional symbol that renews patriotism in everyday Americans to see these signs while visiting Alaska as well as the rest of the nation. And as you all know, it is an emotional sign. When we come from Delta Junction and we've seen it, it sparks a lot of emotions for most veterans who experience these kind of things. So I really can't tell you how meaningful this is for me and for all of my constituents that I try to represent as best I can, combat veterans who are maybe having some struggles, but they know when they see these signs that the rest of the state of the community and the people who support them are there for them. And fun fact, I guess, Delta Junction has a sign. And you know how the signs get shot up all the time? Coincidentally, this Purple Heart signs aren't shot up. So what that says to me is, no matter who you are, you understand what that means. Well, that said, I still appreciate your time and open for any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Knott. Senator Schauer, you had a question?
Yeah.
Yep.
This is just for the bill sponsor on this one. So, Josh, I'm looking at it says department shall erect at the bottom of page one, and at the bottom of page two, it's the facilities for DOT and public facilities may create and erect the signs as required by the statute as amended in the section. So my question is not, and putting this in context, being a veteran as well, not against the proposal. So just to make this crystal clear, my question is only more for the funding mechanism, because I see you also have, which I'm glad you did, the ability to donate, because that was one of our issues, you know, over the last year or two, so that people that want to donate can help, and we're not necessarily using public funds for it. So that being said, what is your intent based on that language as far as directing DOT to do this on what timeline? So in other words, if donations don't come in, do they have to erect these and spend public funds by a certain timeline? Is it an open-ended one where they can wait until they get those funds or grants, so we're not necessarily spending $250,000 of taxpayer money? I'm asking it just out of due diligence, not because, like I said, I'm against it, but just that trying to be good stewards in the time of budget crises and everything that's happening. And we are swimming in money right now. That's a little different, but just curious what the intent of the sponsor is, so I kind of know where that sits on the timeline, please. Thank you.
Very quickly, Senator Schauer, through the chair, our intent is to, as much as possible, we found that the community, many folks in the community are very, very, very interested in helping. We found not only that, but that the DOT has been very, very open to the point that they've been actively helpful. So the agency's been great. Our intent is to give a little leeway. We want to make sure that if we can find creative ways to fund those signs, that's what happens. And maybe my staff, Ms. Torkelson, can add to that a little bit. Or we also have, Andy's here as well. So Ms. Torkelson, maybe Mr. Chair, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Schauer, appreciate that clarification, wanting to put it on the record. The goal is to be able to at least start erecting some of the signs pretty quickly, but the goal is to try to see if there's public interest in contributing. We are working really closely with DOT, and so that's kind of an open line of communication and trying to we want to incorporate some of these signs into projects as they're occurring, but the goal is to get up at least the kind of mandated number of signs pretty quickly after this passes, but with some time allowing for public donation as well.
Mr. Chairman, can I get one follow-up? There's only a question I have. I just want to make sure it's on the record. Perhaps, as Senator Rivak mentioned, we could have Andy come up just so that they get a feel from DOT on what they feel for the timeline, or is there pressure, or say they feel like they're going to get it done by a certain time, just so that we know how the – and this is a very small amount, but very small amounts add up. So what is the pressure DOT feels, or if this was to pass as is, what does that do to you as far as when you would have to get it done or waiting or not to accomplish what it directs based on the language? Thank you.
For the record, Andy Mills, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Through the chair, Senator Schauer, it's a good question to ask. As outlined in the bill, there is added flexibility for various donors, third party, and also I think there was a contemplation that perhaps federal grants may play a part, which the department has the ability to receive and put towards this end. So it is open as to where some of those funds may come from. Time frame wise for DOT, to answer your question directly, typically when we create some of these signs, it's a 30 to 45 day window when they're produced. Certainly there are some supply chain issues that may make a difference in that, but certainly we would normally look to have a sign produced in 4 to 6 weeks. And with that in mind, you would see something in the summer to fall time frame for when we would evaluate working with the sponsor's office, if any donations have come in, third parties have sat down and signed MOUs, and we would find what the balance of those funds raised or anticipated would be, produce the signage that is available for that. So the way that we interpret the bill as drafted is that we put a fiscal note forward that reflected what the full cost would be, but then offset that with donations that would come in, and the remaining amount would lapse back to the state once we know what that full amount would be. There would be only an intent to put up what is clearly spelled out here. And that's why we put as much detail as we did into the backup documents of the fiscal notes, was to show this is the intent of the department given the legislation to try and meet the language.
I read that. Andy, thank you, and I appreciate that. Mr. Chair, can I just have one small follow-up for Senator Rivak? Sorry, it just came from what he said. Josh, what is the based on what Andy said, I didn't think about that. Who is or is anybody actively pursuing that? In other words, like, is a Purple Heart organization, like the captain that just or the commander just spoke, are they actively searching for donations? Is somebody in charge of that, or is it just kind of kept? Because obviously, if people don't try, or you know, there's not somebody set up trying to do it, it probably won't happen. So, what do you envision with that?
Yeah, Senator Schauer, through the chair, I would have to defer those questions to the organizations themselves. But I do believe, aside from that, that there's great opportunity for grant and funding from the feds here in the near future, and that's kind of why we feel like the time window for this is. Why this is a timely issue to those ends, but I would leave the organizations. I am not personally currently running an effort to fund these through NGOs, if that answers your question, Mr. Chairman.
I think it does, Mr. Chair. I just think it might end up falling on the state most likely then. That's why I'm just trying to drill down so I know. Thank you.
Yes, Emma Torkelson, staff to Senator Rivak. We've had conversations with the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and sounds like they have interest in sort of leading that effort potentially. So we are actively pursuing finding an organization that's willing to lead that effort. No commitment at this point, but we're working with them to do that. And the goal is to try to funnel as much money through a single place as possible for DOT. The goal is to not have a million small checks going to them separately. We're going to try to funnel them through as few places as possible. So if we get federal money, that would come from the feds, obviously. But if we get more personal donations, we're going to try to funnel that through a single organization if we can. And we have had conversations with the Military Order of the Purple Heart in there to see what their interest, and they have interest in kind of leading that effort.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the flexibility. I just want to make sure it's on the record for how it played out for what the sponsor is doing with it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In that case, I'll add to the comment I wanted to make. I wanted to thank Mr. Knott. I hope he's still online to hear it for his active involvement just about 2 years ago coming to Skagway when they became a Purple Heart city. He flew down and up to get to Skagway and make that part of Alaska's group of Purple Heart cities, and we really appreciated that here. And then I'll add to that thanks in advance for anything they can do to help with the fundraising for this. I like Ms. Torkelson's idea of a million small checks. We'd have a lot more signs than the fiscal note contemplates.
Depends on how small they are. All right. So I do have one question myself for the sponsor. Why this particular route? The Fairbanks to the border route makes sense given the connections to the Alcan to World War II. Of course, that's very famous. But I also think about the Glenn Highway, which is also built about the same time. And whereas the highways that are picked, in this case, I can't think of any particular connection to the military. And I'm hoping you could enlighten me there.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think so. This was a request by a statewide group of Purple Heart recipients, largely led by the Military Order of the Purple Heart. And so I think this is the way that they've explained to us, and I think that they'll be commenting after us. And so I'm sure they'll touch on that. But the goal was to, and this is happening nationwide. They're doing this to try and get from the border down to Homer. So I'll let them speak to kind of why that route, but I think they're going from one side to the other in terms of the road system, and that's kind of where it starts in the state and where it ends is why I believe maybe they can touch more on it. But they've they've done some work along the way to get those cities designated as Purple Heart cities, and so. So maybe they can speak more to kind of the strategy behind that route. And this route connects those cities.
Understood. All right. Thank you. Mr. Knott, if you are still online, if you have a response to that question.
Yes, sir. Originally, the plan was just merely the contact that we established with each of the communities on this route. We do have plans to go back up, I believe it's the Glen, and connect it back to the Alcan, but we wanted to pursue this route at first just because we have most of our constituents have traveled this route or within the communities of this route. That's why the original plan was, because I have chapters in three sections of the state, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Kenai area. So it made sense to kind of go along that route so we can all come on board kind of thing.
All right. Thank you. Any further questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, 1,000 miles of honor instead of 650.
Not necessarily disagree. All righty. With that, seeing no further questions, we're going to go ahead and move on to public testimony. So I'll open public testimony on SB 203. And with that, is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, we'll move online. I have one name, I believe, right now. Mr. Benno Cleveland, if you could state your name, location, and affiliation, and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, my name is Benno Harry Saponi Cleveland. I am the past department commander for the Military Order of Purple Hearts, State of Alaska. I'm also the president of the Alaska Native Veterans Association and the Alaska Native Veterans Council. I want to thank the chair and the committee for taking your time to hear us testify on House Bill 203, Senate Bill 203. I spend my 19th and 20th birthdays in hospitals in Vietnam. And for the state to consider what we're requesting would be a great honor. The main thing what I think about is, you know, history seems to forget. And when we designate these sections of the highway and interconnect them, and they put up the plaques, the highway signs. Our state is tremendously visited by tourists from all over the world. not only tourists from the world, but residents of this state as well. And when our children are driving down the road with their parents and their grandparents and they see these signs, they ask questions. And this is a good opportunity to let our grandchildren and children know that the state of Alaska supports the sacrifices that the veterans of all conflicts have made, especially those that have received physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds, but also those that gave their lives in defending this great nation so we might continue to have the freedoms that we enjoy today.
All right. Thank you.
And I think that's about all I have to say, I think.
Thank you, Mr.
That brings my feelings to the committee.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Seeing no one else online. All right. With that, we will close public testimony. Any further questions? Any amendments? Pretty straightforward. If only they were all this easy. Seeing and hearing no amendments, Senator Schauer, what is the will of the committee?
Hold on to your hats for the floor debate in the next few weeks. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 203, Work Order 32-LS1553/Bravo with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 203 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease, complete the paperwork. All righty. Back on the record. Seeing no other business before the committee today, that concludes our meeting. Next meeting right now is scheduled for Tuesday, March 15th, and we will continue our discussion on SB 170, talking about union and labor negotiations. With that, we are adjourned at 1:58 p.m. Thank you.